For full transparency, normally I, speak for maybe 30 minutes or so, but we have no power at our house. We have no air conditioning at our house. So, I don't feel any urge to go home this morning. So we'll see how the Lord leads and how long we're here together in this beautiful air-conditioned place. On Friday evening, Rachel and I were out for a walk, and we were over at LVC like we normally are, and we were walking around the track, and the entire time we were there for maybe a half hour or so, the entire time that we were there, all around us, we either heard or saw fireworks going off just continually for the entire time. Last night, in front of our house, one block away from us, there's a guy that's a professional pyrotechnician, and he did like a true display in front of our house for about 20 minutes, smoked out the entire neighborhood. But all this is a part of the celebrations, right, of the 4th of July. I know many of you guys gathered together with family or friends over the last couple days, or you're doing that today. You saw parades go down streets in our small communities, and people, as you drive up and down 422, have decorated for this 4th of July thing. This year, being 250-year anniversary, like that's 2.5 centuries since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which is incredible. Whether you attended a parade or whether you watched fireworks, whether you gathered with family or friends, this weekend reminds us that freedom is one of the greatest blessings that we can possibly enjoy in America. Sometimes we don't fully appreciate things, I think, until we realize that others don't have them, or until we don't have them ourselves. I did a little bit of research this last week, and according to a bunch of recent estimates from organizations such as Open Door, Barna, Pew Research, More than 380 million Christians worldwide experience what they would call high levels of persecution or discrimination based on their faith. 380 million. Let that sink in, right? In dozens of countries, believers cannot gather openly like we are doing here this morning. Some churches in other countries, they meet in homes with the curtains closed tight. Others quietly rotate their meeting places from one location to the next location so that the authorities can't catch on to where they're gathering and meeting. Some believers only have just a few pages of handwritten passages of Scripture because possessing an entire Bible could result in imprisonment. In places like North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, parts of Nigeria, following Jesus can cost somebody their job, their family, their freedom, and even their lives. So just take a moment this morning and think about what's already happened in each one of our lives, right? You drove into the church parking lot without fear of any consequences for coming to display your faith, for coming to worship your God. You walked through the front doors carrying your Bible, not hiding it. We sang songs loudly together. We prayed publicly this morning. In a few minutes, we'll be opening God's Word and looking over God's Word, and we don't have to worry that we're going to be persecuted for doing that. What a privilege. We should never take that privilege for granted. But here's the maybe the The most remarkable thing is if you were to ask many of those persecuted believers if they considered themselves to be free, countless numbers of them would answer, absolutely. So why is this? How can somebody sitting in a prison cell be free? How can somebody who has lost everything that they possess still have joy? Because they have discovered something that the world just can't understand. Political freedom is wonderful, but religious liberty is most precious. The greatest freedom anyone will ever experience is the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. No government can legislate it. No prison can remove it. No circumstances can steal it from us. I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8, if you're using one of the church Bibles found under the chair in front of you. 758. John chapter 8, we're going to verse 31. We're going to go from verse 31 to 36. So starting in verse 31, it says, "To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.'" Then, and this is Jesus continuing, right? "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They replied to him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed." Let's pause and pray before we get into studying God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we can gather openly to worship you on a Sunday morning. We recognize that the countless other brothers and sisters around the world long for the freedoms that we have been granted. Lord, remind us that sure, while national freedom is a tremendous blessing, the greatest freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Open our hearts, open our minds, help us not merely admire this freedom, but to experience it more deeply in our daily lives. May your Holy Spirit speak clearly to every one of us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at what Jesus says about the freedom that lasts forever. The first thing we're going to look at is Jesus frees us from the penalty and power of sin. In our passage, the people listening to Jesus believed that they were already free. After all, they were God's chosen people, right? That they were descendants of Abraham. So surely they didn't need freedom. But Jesus wasn't talking about politics. He wasn't talking about Rome. He was talking about something much, much, much deeper than all that. In John chapter 8, verse 34, we read this earlier. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." That's kind of a surprising statement. Jesus doesn't describe sin as making us weak. He doesn't describe it as simply us making mistakes. He says sin enslaves us. Just pause for a moment and think about the idea of slavery, right? A slave has no authority over him or herself. They serve another master, and that's exactly what sin does. We talked about this really in depth a couple weeks ago, if you remember. We spent a week on talking about temptation and a week on sin, and we kind of dove into this during the week on sin. We talked about how we've all experienced it. We tell ourselves, like, I'll stop worrying tomorrow. I'll stop losing my temper. I'll stop gossiping. I'll stop looking at those websites. I'll stop being bitter. I'll stop living for myself. Somehow we find ourselves returning again and again. It's because sin is more than a bad behavior. Do you remember what I said a couple weeks ago? Sin is certainly, we see it in our behaviors, but it's actually a what problem? It comes from Scripture. It's a heart problem. Right? It's what flows out of our heart. Sin is bondage, but the best news of all is that Jesus didn't simply come to improve our lives. He came to rescue us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." At the cross, Jesus broke sin's ultimate authority, and because of the cross, forgiveness became possible for us. Shame was removed, guilt was washed away, our identities changed. We're no longer defined by our failures. We're defined by God's grace. So ask yourself, am I still allowing an old sin to define me? Have I truly accepted God's forgiveness? Is there something I need to surrender completely to Christ today? See, freedom begins when we stop pretending we're free and allow Jesus to set us free. If sin is something that you are struggling with, like I encourage you to go back on the website and listen to the message from a couple weeks ago as we dove really deep into that. Because once Jesus frees us from sin, he doesn't leave us just standing still. He invites us into an entirely new way of living. And that's why it's so important that we deal with our sin. Number two that we're looking at this morning is Christ frees us to live in a new life. So when we deal with our sin, then we live in a new life. Many people define freedom as doing whatever they want, but the Bible defines it very differently. Freedom is becoming the person that God has created us to become. That is when we are living most freely. Like, think about this. If we look at a couple examples that are found just in our world, in our surroundings around us, I think it kind of helps us understand this idea a little bit, but like something as simple as a fish, right? A fish is most free when it's in water. A bird is most free when it's in the air. It's in the sky, right? I heard Seth talking about a train coming. Big what? Big boy, right? A train is most free when? When it's on the tracks. Like, that's when it has the freedom to do what it's supposed to be able to do. Everything, or every function, everything that we are designed to do allows us to be the most free that we can be. Each functions best where it's designed to be. Human beings, we're designed to live in relationship with God, the Creator. when we drift from Him, we aren't becoming freer. We're becoming less ourselves. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Jesus doesn't simply improve us. He transforms us. Our old priorities change. Our habits begin changing. Our attitudes soften. Our bitterness becomes forgiveness. Our selfishness becomes generosity. Our fear becomes confidence. Freedom means we no longer have to live controlled by our past. This week, I think we would all do well to spend a little bit of time with Jesus every day before maybe we pick up our phones and read a passage of Scripture in the morning. Ask the Holy Spirit each day, like, what would you like to change in me today? Maybe choose an area where you've struggled and intentionally surrender it to Jesus each day this week. I think it's really the little daily decisions that lead to lasting freedom in our lives. As Jesus changes who we are, He also changes how we face everything that life brings us. And that's our third point this morning. Christ frees us to live without fear. One of the greatest prisons people live in isn't made of steel. It's fear. Fear of tomorrow, fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of finances, fear of health problems, fear of death. Many people appear on the outside, right? Like, lots of us are on social media. We see the perfect lives that are lived. Many people appear on the outside, like there's no fear, everything's going great, but remain imprisoned on the inside. Well, Jesus changes that. In Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Paul doesn't say, he doesn't say Christians are never going to experience hardships. He says we no longer live under condemnation. Again, a couple weeks ago, we dove into this idea a lot deeper. Here's what Paul says changes things. Two words. Knowing Christ. When we know Christ, our worst mistake no longer defines us. When we know Christ, our greatest fear doesn't control us. Even death loses its power. That's why persecuted believers all around the world today can and will worship with incredible joy. Their circumstances may not be free, but their hearts are as free as can be. No prison can imprison a soul that belongs to Jesus. What fear have you allowed to occupy too much space in your life? Have you been carrying burdens that Jesus already carried to the cross? What would trusting Jesus look like in the tough situation that you're walking through? Freedom grows whenever trust grows. And when people experience that kind of freedom, they naturally begin sharing it with other people. And like this is the critical part of this whole idea of the freedom, experiencing the freedom that Jesus offers to us, is that we can experience it, but we can also help others experience that freedom. So that's why we're ending with this thought. Christ frees us to help others find freedom. Freedom was never intended to stop with you. It was never intended to stop with me. God sets us free so that we can point others to Him. Right? That's why we do outreach ministry as a church. That's why we see this place decorated the way it is, right? Because we want to point others towards Jesus. One of the tools we're going to use for that is Vacation Bible School. But you know what the other tools are that Jesus chooses to use to point others to Jesus? We don't like this one as much. Yep, Spencer got it. And I'm not pointing at me, you all point at yourselves. It's us. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5 through 13, he said, "You, my brothers and sisters," right? This is the verse that Seth shared earlier. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So if we look at the progression of what we've looked at this morning, we see that Christ frees us, Christ changes us, Christ strengthens us, and Christ sends us. He sends you, He sends me. That sounds a whole lot like the mission of what a church should be, right? Hopefully it sounds a whole lot like the mission and what we do here at Fairland, that like every ministry, every children's Sunday school class, every youth gathering that takes place, every Bible study and life group that take place, Sunday school class, senior gatherings, like all these things, every conversation that happens here on a Sunday morning, hopefully is an opportunity to help somebody discover the same freedom that we have found. Yeah, this weekend, we recognize and we celebrate the fact that this country enjoys remarkable freedom. As Christ followers, we need to use that freedom while we still have that freedom. That's not something that's guaranteed. Ask the 380 million Christ followers that don't experience that freedom. So let's worship boldly. Let's love generously. Let's share Christ courageously. What does this look like? Here's what this looks like. What about this next week, inviting somebody to church? Or a function that's taking place at church. Or inviting somebody into your life group or your small group. Or sharing your testimony or your story with somebody. Sharing a God moment with somebody. How Jesus impacted some area of your life. And being intentional about doing that. How about praying for the believers that face persecution every single day of their lives? Certainly thank God every morning for both your national freedom and your spiritual freedom that you have. America's freedom deserves our gratitude, but Christ's freedom deserves our entire lives. As we began today, we thought about believers around the world who worship in secret. Some of those believers, they whisper the lyrics of songs and hymns in fear of being heard. Some gather only before the sun rises or after it sets. Some of them, if they're bold enough to, hide their Bibles as they take them into wherever they're worshiping. Some risk everything simply to do what we are doing right now, right here. Yet many of them would tell us something that's just remarkable to me, that they are free because Jesus can set hearts free. This weekend, Independence Day weekend, let's thank God for the blessing of living in a nation where we can come and gather and worship without fear. Let's continue praying for our leaders in this nation, and let's ask God to preserve the freedoms that we are experiencing today for the generations to come. But most importantly, let's remember this. If every earthly freedom were someday taken away from us, no one can take away the freedom Christ has given to his people. No one. Jesus still says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that is the greatest freedom. It's available today. It's available to everybody, and it lasts forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible privilege of living in a country where we can gather openly to worship you. Help us never to take it for granted, but to use it wisely to proclaim the hope of the gospel. Most of all, thank you for the greater freedom found in Jesus Christ. Thank you for breaking the chains of sin, removing our guilt, for giving us new life, for filling us with hope that no circumstance can take away. Lord God, teach us to live each day as people who are truly free. Help us walk in obedience, to trust you with our fears, to serve others with humility. Help us to boldly share the good news with those who have not yet experienced the freedom of Christ. Lord God, it would be wrong for us not to bring up our brothers and sisters around the world who experience persecution this morning as they worship you. We lift them up this morning. Strengthen them. Protect them. Encourage them. And remind them that they are not alone. May their courage inspire us to be faithful with the freedoms that we have been given. As we leave today, may our lives point others to the one who alone can say, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. We ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.